Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Welcome to Advices Radio. This is episode number 22. I'm your host, Scott McNally. I promised you guys a special guest coming up here in the not too distant future. It looks like we will have him on next week. Everything is lined up. It's ready to go. So next week we are going to have on S2H along with Ken Skip Hill. So I'm excited to catch up with Skip and see what he's been up to. I'm going to take part of the show to just chat with him, see what he's been doing, see how all his personal training is going, as well as see how his training of his clients are going. From there, I would like to do some Q&A stuff with him and S2H together. It'll kind of feel like old times to talk to both of the guys at once and get their input on some of the questions from the Advices Radio question box. So if you guys have any questions that you would like to ask during the Q&A portion of the show, things that would relate to training or nutrition or performance enhancement, those are the things that we're looking for. So feel free to fire those questions over. So guys, I'm really excited about that. So for tonight, what we're going to do is we are going to talk with Anthony Bevilacqua. He is a personal trainer and he is the host of New York Muscle Radio. He hosts that show with Pete Kacharian, the two guys over there in New York. They're doing an awesome job. I get such a good feeling listening to their show. I enjoy it just about every week I listen to that show. So if you guys haven't heard it and you enjoy the interview tonight, please head over there and check the guys out because I'm a big fan and I'm a big supporter of theirs. Our podcast topic is going to be a little bit more on the basic side tonight. We are going to focus on the top five mistakes that people make in the gym. So I know a lot of you guys are more advanced. Hang with me because we also have a lot of newer guys. Believe it or not, I come across people that ask me for cycle advice and they've never even owned a gym membership yet. So they're buying their gear before they're even starting training. I swear to God, I've heard that. So I figured to myself, let's take a minute and step back and brush up on some basics. So guys, without further ado, here's Anthony Bevilacqua. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and with me today is a friend of mine, Anthony Bevilacqua. He's from New York Muscle Radio. He's a personal trainer. He hosts New York Muscle with my other friend, Pete Kacharian. They're doing an awesome job over there. I just love listening to your show, man. So thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Scott, man. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm glad to give all these people the right advices.
Yeah, that's
I love that line, man.
That's what we're trying to do. There's a lot of advice out there, but I don't necessarily think that you should listen to all of it,
Yeah, there's so much stuff. I mean, you got to remember, fitness in general, and I guess anything, is really a business. So a lot of these articles that come out in the news, in the magazines, and even online, it's all clickbait stuff, man. They're all just trying to get you to click it so you get on their website and hopefully buy something. So
sure.
Sometimes the information is not good. So everything you read, don't believe it. We actually, on my podcast the other day, we had a trending topic, and one of the trending topics was a woman. She was making these special smoothies. Did you listen to the podcast yet? Or no?
Not this one, not yet.
All right, no. So I'm going to spoil it for you.
Okay.
She was making these special smoothies. And inside, the secret ingredient inside the smoothie was semen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
holy cow.
This is what's online. And this is the articles that float around the internet. And people actually, I'm pretty sure there's a handful of people that have clicked that, read through it, and said, you know what? I'm going to do that.
I got to start doing that. I don't care. It's just, I don't care. I'll do whatever it takes to get in shape.
Greens, exactly.
Never had abs before, and that must be the secret. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I see that stuff all the time, you know, and it's always like the ones that really crack me up are the ones that, like, you know, I like where it says, like, you know, get the secrets that this guy didn't want you to know, or
yeah.
That's a good
and have
one.
A picture of, and have a picture of like The Rock on there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Those are my favorite. I never click on them, though, because I know I'm never going to get anything out of it. Nonetheless, I've gotten a lot of really good information listening to your show. I really like that, you know, where you're coming from is very logic based. You are a natural bodybuilder and powerlifter, and you being a personal trainer, you have the luxury of working with a lot of different body types, and that's really what I think makes a difference in the advice that you get from somebody. Because just because one person knows how to get themselves into shape or knows how to get their arms to grow bigger doesn't mean that they can make that happen for everybody. We all have, you know, a unique formula that it's going to take to reach our goals. And you've gotten to spend a lot of time experimenting with a lot of different people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what works for one person is not going to work for another. And you just have to be able to, I think what makes a really good personal trainer is your ability to maneuver around certain people's, the way people's minds work. I mean, some people, you know, like we said, we clicked that, we're talking about that article before. Someone will click that and be like, oh, this works, I have to do that. And it doesn't have to be seeming the shake. It could be anything they
read.
Right,
right.
So you just got to always have to, as a trainer, you always got to be able to, willing to debunk certain things for people and just kind of adjust it for them, you know. And it goes with anything. In the gym, exercise-wise, you know, I've heard so many crazy things. You have to do this to get abs. And if you want more lat sweep, you got to do this. And, you know, people waste their time doing so much random stuff that they end up spinning their wheels and getting nowhere and then getting frustrated and quitting. So
yeah, because they do it with the best of intentions. You know, one thing, and I've told this story before, I had the best of intentions. I wanted to get lean, and this is years and years ago. I knew that fish would be a good source of protein to eat while I was trying to diet down and get cut. So every day at lunch, I would go to Subway and I would buy a tuna fish sandwich instead of their other sandwiches. And because I knew that the protein was important, I also would get it with double meat. And it turned out that because of the mayo that was in that tuna fish, there was like 40 grams of fat per serving. So every day at lunch, I was eating like 80 grams of fat. And sometimes I didn't even want to eat it all, but I would like shovel it down because I knew this is what I needed to do. And then I wondered why, you know, I didn't reach my goals at the time. I mean, I managed to still get pretty damn lean, which shocks me. But you know what? I put a lot of effort into that. And sure, people put a lot of effort into a program because they really do, you know, want to make it work. And when they don't see the success, man, they want to quit, you know?
Yeah, and it, you know, it's really, and this is one thing I always say on my podcast, dude, this stuff is so simple, but people make it so complicated. And,
yes,
you know, like for the reasons we said earlier, you know, some people want to make money and they have to kind of make things fancy in order to sell a certain product. You know, you have to use this because this is what's going to work over
like
this.
Gimmick.
And
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's why I'm excited for today's topic with you, because, you know, the top five mistakes people make in the gym, because I just think that people make a lot more than five.
Yes.
But I think if you could really narrow down these five and clear these up, you're going to pave the way for a lot more gains to come.
Absolutely, man. And I felt to myself, who would be a better person to talk to than a personal trainer that has had a lot of experience? So yeah, as Anthony just said, that's what we're going to cover today. Top five mistakes that we make in the gym. Where do you want to start with this? What would you say would be the number five mistake that people make?
Oh, I don't. I wrote my list down, but I didn't put them in any type of order because I think they're all have their own importance, and certain people do more than others as far as these lists go. So you want to just roll over it. This is tough because I don't. Are you a host on your show?
Oh yeah,
Bodybuilding Nerds also.
Yes,
you're the host. So this is two hosts talking to each other. So it's hard for who is going to lead the way here.
Well, I do. We kind of share the job, I think, as host. I kind of let VJ lead more of the way, though, on Bodybuilding Nerds. But yeah, I do host here.
I tell my co-host the same thing, man.
and have hosted, you know, the various other shows. So this is a fight for dominance you guys are witnessing right now.
Exactly. I'm gonna lift my leg and pee on my mic like the dogs do.
All right. Just hit mute first before you do that, please. All right. So no particular order then. Lay it on me. What's one of your top five mistakes?
Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they go to the gym, just in general, is not having a plan. Because as we know, success is a planned event. Nothing is going to happen on accident. So without a plan, you know, you're just kind of setting yourself up for failure. Because I know so many people, and maybe I'm talking a little more average population, I want to lose weight, so I'm just going to go into the gym. I mean, yes, that's better than not going, but that's not going to get you anywhere.
Sure. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that I've seen a lot of people that just walk into the gym and, you know, you ask them, oh, what are you training today? And they say, well, I don't know. I usually do this first and then I do that, you know, and then I do this next thing. So when you have a new person that you're working with, let's say that they're totally fresh. Do you set them up on a split body part program or do you put them onto like a circuit plan? What would be your plan of action for somebody who is brand new?
Again, it always is going to depend on the person. I think this is what makes, like I said earlier, a good personal trainer is you have to be able to adjust based on what the person is doing currently and what their beliefs are too. Because if you came to me, let's just say, I'm going to use you as an example. You came to me and you swore that body part splits were the only way to train. If I told you, all right, we're going to do everything full body routines going completely opposite direction of what you're used to doing and what you like doing,
yeah,
you know, it's not really going to work because you're not going to follow it. You're not going to enjoy it. So I think the most important thing also for people, you have to do what you like. Mm. So making a plan based around what you like is also really important.
That's a huge point, man. Yeah, yeah. We got to have fun. I mean, we do this because we want to reach our results. But at the end of the day, I think we fall in love with the process, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, training has to be fun. You know, for some people, and I always get confused when I hear this, but some people actually don't like working out. I don't get how. I get so much enjoyment out of it, but a lot of people don't, and it's actually a chore for a lot of people. So you have to make it enjoyable for them. So you have to give them something that they like and something that they're willing to stick to. I mean, and Scott, let's face it. There are times when me and you are training that they're like, why are we here today? I don't feel like doing this right now.
Sure.
So you have to have those days where you're able to kind of adjust your program and just kind of, you know, go from there.
Yeah, that makes total sense, man. I feel like for a lot of the guys who are listening, I mean, we do have some advanced guys. We do have a lot of guys that are on the newer side. I see a lot of people that are doing like a 5-day split. And I think that's pretty good. I would say, though, as far as their planning goes, one of the mistakes I see is people that are so overzealous that they don't take days off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree too. I mean, again, it's going to boil down to what you're doing and how you structure your training. But I think overall, going back to our point, the not having a plan, I think if your goal is you want to get lean, I think it's important to set out a goal for yourself. All right, I want to lose 20 pounds in 12 weeks. And then just kind of always backtracking that goal and setting it up into small weekly goals. Okay, if I have to lose 20 pounds, that means I got to lose, 2 pounds a week or whatever it would be in order to get to that goal, and having a plan like that. So then saying, okay, so if I want to lose 20 pounds during this time, I'm going to work out. I can only commit to working out 4 days a week. So that's how I'm going to start this, and then just break it down from there.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I find a lot of times, you know, when you say have a goal, people do really well with a goal. A lot of times, like the people I see that compete, especially coming into their first show, they don't set a goal up for after the show. And that's something we just talked about on the previous episode. I had a guy on who was talking about his diet reversal. Jeremy Simon was his name. He just competed, and he's been doing this long enough that he knew to set up a goal, because even if you already have a plan, you got to have a plan to pick up after that plan. It's a continual thing, man. So I think that's great. So I think a lot of times things like vacations, I've seen a lot of people who don't compete will say, okay, I'm going on this trip and I want to be in good shape for that. I think that's a great goal. Or people who say, I'm going to be 40 years old this year and I want to see my abs for the first time. You know, give yourself a reasonable amount of time to get there, you know, but then 6 months, you know, whatever it might be, that's a great thing to move forward to. But, you know, it all comes back to what you're saying is create a goal. And would you consider this to be under the same topic as having a plan?
Yeah, because I think they go hand in hand, and that's for sure. But I want to touch upon what you just said about the guy you had on before who was talking about reverse dieting. I actually think the reverse dieting is a lot harder than actually dieting down to your goal, because if you're dieting for a contest or just in general, maybe for the beach or whatever, some type of an event, it's easy because the event's there. But, you know, first of all, reverse diet is really good because it's going to help you rebuild back your metabolism. You're going to be able to add back calories and actually probably get a little bit leaner doing it if you do it correctly. So if your goal is to step on stage and be the leanest and win, blah, 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 you do that, great. Now, after the show, you're so tempted because of the goals not in sight for you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're so tempted to cheat and binge and, you know, and then you end up 20 pounds over contest weight. So reverse dieting, you actually have to, I would say, set up another goal.
Yeah.
While reverse dieting to keep you on track, because if you don't have anything in the horizon, you're just going to kind of spin your wheels when that goes. So I know his feels when he's talking about reverse dieting. It's definitely a lot harder than regular dieting.
Absolutely. So what are your goals right now?
Well, I just competed in a powerlifting meet. I won the whole thing. I was, to my surprise.
No kidding. No kidding.
Yeah,
congrats.
I won my class. Then I won overall best male lifter, and then I won overall lifter of the day. I got drug tested and everything, so it was a really cool experience to win the whole thing.
Wow.
So this qualified me for a national event. So the national event is in October. It's a USAPL Raw Nationals in October. And so I'm going to take the whole year off and train for that. So I got 11 months down to train. And so basically that's my goal. So we'll use me as an example.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm setting this up into training blocks. So right now, right after the meet, I'm taking a 1 month kind of D-low, light. You know, I totally changed my training. I'm not squatting. I'm not deadlifting. I'm not benching, to kind of give my body a break from it. And then after that, then I'm going to go right back into training and then just set up little mini blocks and have, okay, I have to hit, you know, a 600-pound deadlift by then. You know, and set up goals like that. This is just keeps me going. And this is kind of why I kind of liked powerlifting and ended up down that road. Because with bodybuilding, it's different because it's more about how you look.
Yeah.
And it's hard to kind of not stay motivated while you work out. But there's no like it's a concrete goal with powerlifting. OK, you have to deadlift 600 pounds.
Sure.
With bodybuilding, it's like, oh, I want to gain an inch to my arms. And, yeah, you know, you can do that with tape measure and stuff. But it's just, I feel like it's easier powerlifting, but my physique has taken on a whole different level training this way.
Yeah.
So it's funny how they kind of go hand in hand, you know?
Interesting. So lifting heavier and probably lower reps, I'm guessing, you're seeing improvements now.
Yeah. And actually, this brings me on to mistake number two that I see people training, mistakes that they make is not training with progression. Mm. A lot of people, when they go into the gym, they're just like, okay, I'm gonna blast this body part to smithereens. You know, I'm going to do chest. I'm going to do all these different movements, but they never actually progress on that. And that's the key to muscle growth is progression. And this is why I think powerlifting training is a little bit more superior to bodybuilding training in that there's progression is always planned in. So you're always going to be adding weight to the bar, adding some type of volume, and overall volume is going to increase. The more your volume increases, the more muscle size you end up gaining. So this is why I was able to pack on so much muscle powerlifting, because I'm training with more progression. And actually, what you can do is you could use powerlifting as your basis for your training and then just add in your bodybuilding accessory movements, and you'd have it all well around program. You know, because again, going back to the first point, not having a plan, most people just go into the gym and blast the body part, and that's not really going to get you there.
Sure. So best way to work progression into your plan, would you suggest keeping a logbook?
Yeah, man, definitely. I mean, it sounds like old school, but people have, there's so many apps nowadays, you could do it on your phone and stuff, but
yeah.
I like the whole paper and pen thing. I always have an idea of what I'm going to do in the gym that day, because I do write my workouts out in advance. I usually do it a week out, so I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But you could set your training up however you want. You could write it out for a month and, okay, I'm going to stick to these are my, whatever, 20 workouts that I have to do in the month. You know, however works best for you. And I think that you have to be flexible in how you're going to make it work for you.
So eventually, what I found with using a logbook, eventually there comes a point when you can't beat your previous best. How do you handle that?
So I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, a lot of people, when I say progression, they think about weight on the bar.
Yeah.
And that is progression, but you can progress in many other ways other than that.
Okay.
You can progress with overall volume. So that means either adding a rep, adding a set, or you can even improve your form, because that's also a type of progression.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say, you know, you're stuck at 315 on the bench for 5 reps, for argument's sake, and you're only doing 3 sets right now. Well, what you could do is you can keep those 3 sets and nail down your form until it feels easy. So let's just say you're doing it and you're barely making the 5 reps.
Right.
Like barely making it. The next week you come in, it's a little bit easier. The week after that, it's so much easier. You're still making progress. Just because you didn't add any weight to the bar, you're still making progress. You're still getting a better stimulation of the muscle. you know, doing that because you're still progressing. You follow? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you can progress by adding volume. So if you don't want to throw so much weight on the bar, you can always add another set. So you end up doing four sets, you know, or you could do a totally different exercise to also add in the volume. You know, there's so many different ways to progress. I mean, I'm talking about powerlifting training, so it's kind of cut and dry with just the bench press. But sure, you know, as far as bodybuilding goes, you can progress using an incline. And then when you stop progressing on an incline, switch movements.
Okay.
You know, you could do it so many different ways. But progression has to be there because your overall training volume is what's going to tell your body to add muscle. Just because you blasted your chest, it's not going to say, oh, you know, his chest is extra sore today. Let me add some more muscle there.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned the word soreness. Do you believe that like DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness, is that a notation of how good of a workout you had? Or is that just a random side effect that it doesn't matter so much?
So when I first started training, I used to think that you have to get sore in order to get results. And that's just what it seemed like when you first start training. But over time, you know, I hardly get sore anymore.
Yeah.
Like I barely sore and I'm still making progress. So I went from, using me for an example again, I did in my first meet, I benched like 305 with a pause. That's what it is. And my last meet, I did 373.
Okay.
So all with progression. So I used that same, you know, the same model that I'm talking about here. But I haven't gotten sore in my chest. I'm pretty much doing, I wouldn't want to say the same thing, but my overall training volume has improved.
Okay.
So this is what I mean. It's I didn't get that much improvement on my bench, you know, doing flies and cable crossovers and doing that, just doing the movement, you know, and keep progressing with it.
I think this kind of leads to another one of your topics. If you're ready to move on, is there anything else you want to say about this one?
No, you can go ahead.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. What was it? You had something about accessory movements, right?
My third mistake is doing too many accessory movements.
Yeah. And you see this all the time, man. I go in the gym and I see guys that they want to get big and they're working their biceps over and over and over again.
I know. So I was talking to someone the other day. He's a newbie. He just started working out maybe 6 months into it. And he's really excited. His story is actually a little bit unique. He was into like drugs and stuff before that. And, you know, when you have that kind of addictive personality, you know, drugs is a bad thing. So he went down a bad path for a while. And now he kind of picked himself up. He went to rehab. He's all good now.
Good for
him.
He's
really, really into fitness now. So he's so proud of his results. So he's talking to me about his results. So he's telling me every little detail about his program. So he's telling me what he's doing for chest. He's like, yeah. So I do flat bench, you know, and he's telling me how many sets and reps. And he's like, then I do incline. Then I do hammer strength incline. Then I do cable crossovers from the top and from the bottom. And then I do dips. And I'm like, whoa, man, you're wasting so much energy doing all these different angles, trying to, quote unquote, hit the muscle from every angle. But if you just focus on, you know, maybe two or three movements, you're going to get a lot more out of that than just blasting it away from every angle.
Sure.
So, you know, I think that that's a common problem that we see because I think the misconception always was, especially around bodybuilding, I think this stems from Arnold's era, was you have to do every angle in order to get a fully developed chest. And me and my co-host talked about this in the last podcast. When we dieted down last year, we took some photos together, and you know, my upper chest was so much more dominant than his upper chest. And granted, we could talk genetics all we want, but I haven't done an incline press movement in probably about a year at that point.
No kidding.
I've been focusing on powerlifting.
Okay.
So it just goes to show you that if you really progress with a muscle and overload the muscle correctly, you don't need a lot of movements to get that stimulation. I mean, again, with, you know, genetic, everyone has genetic insertions and how big the muscle is genetically anyway. So maybe my upper chest gets a lot of stimulation from when I bench press.
Possibly,
but at the same time, I've also added, you know, 50 or so pounds to my bench press, you know, with a pause over the course of a year. That's a lot of training volume that has improved there.
Hell,
you know, and I didn't get that from doing incline flies.
Hell yeah, right.
So I see that problem with everybody, especially women too. Women go into the gym, they want to get glutes. They forget that the most important thing that's going to give them glutes is squatting.
Yeah,
you know, and they don't do squats. They skip right over squats and they go into glute kickbacks and cable this and cable that.
Yeah,
and they don't end up getting anywhere with that.
Yeah, that's all the additional stuff. And honestly, I think that most of us could probably build perfectly fine muscles without those things. I think you see that stuff too. I think like you had said earlier about gimmicks, you know, they want to tell you, you know, how to get big bicep peaks on, you know, the latest article in Muscle and Fitness magazine, you know, they're not going to tell you just do more, just work heavier, you know, progressively overload the muscle and eat to grow. They got to have something that's a gimmick and tell you, you know, if you do a preacher curl, it's going to get the peak of your bicep, or, you know, maybe you can, to an extent, try to target a particular area like upper pec or whatnot. But regardless, man, like you're saying, I'm right there with you. You just build the overall muscle and the whole thing is going to grow. And that's the way to really do it.
Exactly. I'm not saying that those movements don't have a time and place, because sure, they do, especially if you're bodybuilding training, but a lot of people overlook that. And that's the basics of it. You know, before Arnold's era, you know, all those guys back then, they had great physiques and drugs weren't what they are now. Right. And what did they do? They were all monsters. I mean, I remember Reg Park overhead pressing like 400 pounds or something like that. Like, that's a significant amount of weight.
Hell
no
yeah.
One does that nowadays, you know?
No.
So you have to really focus on those meat and potato exercises, and then you could sprinkle in the little stuff here and there. But again, if you're over, like going back to the women, for example, if you want to get glutes, you have to squat. If you're not squatting and you're going right over to the cable kickback, you're not going to get anywhere doing that.
So let's say, you know, legs, obviously squat would be the number one exercise. What would be your number one and two exercises for back?
Well, definitely some type of a deadlift. Again, everyone's going to have a different, you know, limb length and what works for them, what they feel, you know, so some type of heavy pulling from the floor, whether if your back may be bad, maybe a rack deadlift.
There you go.
You know, if you want a little more hamstrings, you could do them off a deficit. I mean, there's so many different ways to do this. You know, you don't have to be a powerlift and just do squat, bench, and deadlift.
Right.
As long as you're hitting your posterior chain with an exercise that you like, you're going to get a lot of development from it if you keep progressing with it. So if you, for whatever reason, if you like stiff leg deadlifts and they work the best to hit your hamstrings, your glutes, and your erectors, then by all means, keep doing that exercise and keep progressing, adding reps, adding sets, adding weight over time, and just keep doing that. And you don't have to be a hero every time you go into the gym and try to add 50 pounds to your stiff leg deadlift. You'd be surprised what adding the little 2.5s on each side over time does to the lift.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. And it's something that we a lot of times don't even think of doing, you know, adding the 2.5 pound plates. It's just, it seems so minimal. But if, like you're saying, man, if you were to add 2.5 pounds on each side of the bar every time you were there, you'd progressively, in itself, not changing anything else, you'd be a lot stronger.
Exactly. I just recently purchased micro plates, which are, they have the plates that go in little increments. I only bought 0.5 pound because I think anything less than that's a little ridiculous. But think about it. So if I add, so like I'll go back to the example that I said earlier, if you're struggling. So during my meat prep, I was struggling with 340 on the bench with a pause. I was trying to get 3 reps, but it was just too hard and I couldn't progress, you know, adding 2.5 pounds. So I started adding the micro plates. So doing that over 3 weeks, I added 3 pounds to the bench. It doesn't seem like much, but it adds up over time.
Yeah.
And I was able to do it. My form was better. So I was still progressing, and I was still adding weight to the bar. So
nice.
Don't be afraid of those little plates, because they actually do make a big difference in your training, especially with the bigger movements. You know, maybe squats you can get away with not adding those, but you get the idea.
Right. You ever use bands?
Yes, I have used bands. Not lately, because again, I'm just focusing, you know, again, if your goal is powerlifting, you have to be really specific to what you want to do. So in powerlifting, you're not allowed to use any of those, you know, there's no bands, no chains, anything on the bar. If you're bodybuilding, you're just trying to get stronger, or you're just trying to get a better body, then those things are definitely fun to add in.
Yeah.
And they definitely do have their time and place. I mean, everything works. It's just about when and when you're going to do them.
Yeah. I do know powerlifters that really get into the bands, though. It's, you know, powerlifting is something that's very foreign to me. And I've been lucky enough to have a few guys on here. But from what I understand, they'll use that to break up through a plateau where, you know, they could possibly say, you know, get used to a lift with a reverse band using an overload of weight. And then from there, you know, progressively get rid of those bands after they're used to handling, you know, heavier weight at the top of the rep, say.
Have you ever used bands in just in training in general or no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I use them on a regular basis. It mainly, really for me, it's just because it's fun and it's a way to get a different type of resistance. I use them on legs an awful lot. I like to do reverse band squats and reverse band leg press. On the reverse band leg press, it really helps my knees too, because my knees are stronger, you know, at the top of the lift. Same with reverse deads too, like a rack dead. You know, I'm in a more precarious position at the bottom of that rep, and because I have like a compromised SI joint, I'm more likely to get hurt at the bottom of that rep. So if I can handle a lot more at a stronger point in the movement, then I would much rather be able to do that, you know?
See, and bands are so much fun to train with. If you could actually do them, reverse band is cool too, but if you do them the regular way, like a regular deadlift with the bands on the ground, oof, pulling it up,
yeah.
Oh, it's brutal, man. It's brutal. Squats like that too are really brutal.
Oh, yeah.
But again, I think this all's tying in together because as everyone's listening to this, they can hear what we're saying, that there's so many different ways to progress.
Yes.
If you like doing reverse band deadlifts for whatever reason or whatever that is, if that's the exercise you like doing, by all means, keep doing it, but just hammer that exercise into the ground and keep doing it because that's how you're going to eke out a lot of gains doing it. And I would also say, you know, again, tying point number three in with too many accessory movements, don't focus on doing much else. Focus on, you know, that reverse band deadlift and then maybe throwing in a couple of accessory movements there and keeping it very minimal because, you know, less is always more, man.
Sure.
And a lot of people think that, oh, if this works, if I add 10 times more, it's going to be so much better. And it's not always the case.
Right, right. Oh, I totally agree with you, man, 100%. Sometimes I'll go to the gym on leg day and just squat for an hour and a half. Take my time, warm up, get into it with light weight, and progressively get heavier. Do you ever go in and you just do anything like that?
I mean, well, right now, because my training is so specific to what I'm trying to accomplish, I haven't done that in a while, but I've done that in the past, of course. And yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Again, now this is why I think having a plan is also very important because, you know, someone listening to this, maybe they're training for a powerlifting meet and they're listening to this and they heard you talk about squatting for an hour and a half and
yeah,
that might not be good for their goals.
Sure.
But maybe
sure.
Someone else listening to this who wants bigger legs, maybe that might be something they can implement in. So again, having a plan and just tying all this stuff in is going to be so important.
Yeah, I think a lot of
at least not making any mistakes in the gym and wasting time, because I feel like, especially in the beginning when I first started out, man, I wasted a lot of time doing stupid stuff. And when I look back at it, like, it's almost so funny how, you know, I wasted so much time doing all these exercises that got me nowhere. And it wasn't until I cut everything out that I focused on just the basics that I started getting crazy results doing that.
Yeah, and I think for us, it all takes a lot of that trial and error. But this is a place where, and I hesitate to say hire a personal trainer because I think that you're great. And I think that Pete's great. There's a lot of really great people out there, but I also know of a lot of personal trainers that aren't great. So mm-hmm. I'm going to say hire a good personal trainer. Somebody like with me in nutrition, if somebody's new to dieting and they want to learn how to grow muscle or get lean, I can kind of fast track them and avoid a lot of that trial and error, you know? And so I think that this is a good place where if you did bring someone like yourself in, that you could get more quickly onto a good program and a good track.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you always cut out the, you know, whenever you hire someone to do anything, you're going to cut out that learning curve there. You know, it's just like anything else. If you want to go to school to become a doctor, you can't just, you know, go to 2-year college. You got to really indulge yourself in it. So
sure.
I think that it's important to find, you know, a really good, like you mentioned, a really good trainer, really knowledgeable, and someone that you click with. I think that's also important too, because you could find someone with all the knowledge, but if they can't, teach you correctly, you're not going to get anything out of it either.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you want to learn. You want to go to school. You know, like you think of it as school. I always tell my clients, think of it as school. I'm your teacher. I'm going to teach you how to do this in the shortest amount of time possible. I'm giving you, you know, my 15 years in this industry, all the knowledge that I've accumulated over the years, all the stuff that I know doesn't work, that I know works. I'm giving it to you in a shorter time span. You have to be able to absorb all that, and you have to be able to have someone who's going to be willing to adjust their training, their teaching to you.
Yeah. Because
again, if you maybe you're trying to teach me nutrition, but I don't get it, I'm not going to learn anything from it. I'm just going to kind of waste my money. If I don't agree with what you're saying and I don't implement what you're telling me to do,
right,
I'm not going to get anywhere. I'm going to spin my wheels also.
Yeah. There's a certain amount of faith that you have to have in the program,
exactly,
you know, to make it work. And sometimes sometimes you don't see the results. And, you know, even with a good coach, like you've been saying all along here, everybody is unique. So that doesn't necessarily mean that just because you come to an excellent coach that you're automatically going to be on the perfect track right away. But that person is there. I think that your job as a coach is to problem solve and to figure out what's going to work. And like you said, you've got that 15 years of industry experience to bring to the table. So it's definitely a good way to fast track it. What's your next point?
Well, we mentioned it a little bit here. The top five mistakes, this is definitely one of the bigger ones. This probably would be up on the top as far as that goes. A diet and just lack thereof diet, especially with new people who come in. Mm. You know, again, using the fat loss example, and I hate using that example, but it's the most common. You know, all right, I want to lose weight, blah, blah, blah. This is what I want to do. I want to go and lose 20 pounds. But if you don't know what a diet is, if you don't know how much protein you should be getting,
yeah,
if you don't know any of that, you could just kiss all the results, you know, gone.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. How many of now your clients, do you give them diets as well, or do you just focus on the training?
Yeah, whether my clients are online or offline, I always give them diet, because as we know, diet is the most important thing. You know, 70-80% of your results are going to come from your nutritional habits. So it doesn't really matter what you're putting into the gym. If you're not focusing on, you know, eating correctly, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, and that doesn't matter what your goal is. If your goal is overall fat loss, then you have to be in a caloric deficit.
Sure.
If your goal is weight gain, then you have to be eating more calories and eating the proper amount of nutrients to balance that out. So again, if your diet's not there, your diet is going to be kind of like your stimulus to tell your body what's going to happen while you're in the gym. So if you just go to the gym randomly and you're trying to lose weight, but you're overeating your calories, you're going to get fat. Doesn't matter what you're doing in the gym. Doesn't matter how many hours of cardio you're doing. Doesn't matter how many different movements you're doing for your chest. You're never going to have a big defined chest if you're just eating whatever you want, trying to diet down, you know?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I find that the people that are most motivated are willing to follow the diet, and they're willing to work hard. And even if they aren't seeing the results they want, they have faith that it will happen. And over time, for those people, I've never seen somebody who failed. Honestly, I'm sure you could probably agree that over time, if somebody sticks with it and they're willing to do the work and continue following the program, that it I can say, honestly, I think it just about always works.
Yeah. The diet is probably the hardest part of this whole thing.
You think so?
You know, definitely. For any person, you know, we're talking about us here, so for that's kind of second nature. But for the average person listening, or someone who may be just getting into it, I think getting into the track of a diet is definitely the hardest. I mean, look in the beginning with you, like you said, your whole tuna fish thing.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't know, but you just thought, you know. So if you have your diet down, if you were to hire a coach and the coach would have explained to you, listen, Scott, you know, tuna fish from Subway is not going to cut it because the mayo is too much fat. You know, that would have cut down that learning experience for you so much faster. You would have learned right away.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are also reluctant in changing their habits because let's face it, when we pick up a fitness lifestyle, the diet is going to be something counterproductive to what American society eats.
Oh, sure.
So I think, you know, getting the hang of that whole part of it also is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, too, that we use food a lot of times for things other than just nutritional sustenance. You know, it's
comfort.
Yep, comfort, entertainment. You know, you go out on a date, what do? You're going to eat, most likely. At some point, yeah, there's going to be food involved. And, you know, if you don't have that stuff involved, you might not get a second date. Who knows? But I don't know, though. You guys would probably know better than me. You guys over in New York, you got a lot more going on over there than us in Detroit.
Well, I'm married, so I'm out of the dating scene for a while. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Food is like, I always say this all the time. You know, a lot of people eat to live, not live to eat, and that's live to eat, not to. I think I might have said it wrong there.
Eat to live.
You get my idea.
Yes, live to yes, yeah, exactly. I know what you meant.
Yeah. So and it's just food is what it is. You know, in today's modern society, so I think a lot of people have trouble just understanding the whole concept of, okay, you have to eat less calories than you're burning to lose body fat, or you have to eat more properly in order to gain muscle. Because at the beginning for me, one of the biggest downfalls I always had was, you know, I always thought, okay, I was always a skinny kid. So I was like, all right, I want to gain a lot of muscle. So what am I going to do? I'm going to eat a lot of chicken. I'm going to eat a lot of vegetables. I'm going to eat a lot of healthy foods. But at the end of the day, my calories weren't enough for me to actually put on weight. So I always felt like I was always spinning my wheels there. It wasn't until I actually came across, you know, counting calories and focusing on how many grams of protein and carbohydrates that I'm taking that I was actually starting to get results. So it was super frustrating in the beginning because I was like, well, I'm eating all this healthy food, but I'm not getting anywhere. But it wasn't because – it was just because I didn't have the basics down. I went by what everyone's saying and what the magazine said. You have to eat, you know, chicken breasts and sweet potatoes and you're going to grow. You know,
sure.
Yes, those are great foods to eat, but If you're not eating enough calories, you're not going to grow. And the same thing, if you're trying to lose weight, you could eat all those foods, but you could be overeating and you're not losing weight, and it's because you're overeating.
Advices Radio is presented by Naps Gear. Go to napsgear.org for all your bodybuilding supplement needs. While you're there, check out the entertainment section. They have blogs, video blogs, news articles, there's a Q&A, there's lab testing on many of the top products that are available on the market today that Naps carries. They have contests. There's all sorts of great stuff happening over in the Naps Gear community. So check it out today and make sure that you check with local laws before purchasing.
Where do you think supplements play a role in all of this for somebody that's newer?
I think that supplements are, especially for someone in the beginning, people rely on them to get results. Okay, I want to get big. I'm going to take this weight gainer.
Yeah.
You know, they think that that's going to solve all their problems, and it's not. The same thing on the other end of the spectrum. Oh, I want to lose body fat. I'm going to take this fat burner. It's going to help me, and it's not. It's not until you get the basics down that you actually need supplements.
Sure. You know, and we've talked about this before. When I was on your show and we talked about steroids, it's the same thing with the super supplements. You know, there's a lot of people who are willing to put faith into steroids because they might not know anything about them, but they believe in them because the media has told them to. And, you know, they start using these things, but they haven't got all these other things down. They don't have the consistency or a program in the gym. They don't have the nutrition, and they aren't focusing on, you know, the primary basic movements that are going to get them to grow. And their results are going to be, you know, still subpar as a result. I don't know about you, man, but I want to get the most I can out of my time in the gym.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, you're spending all this time and energy into something. You want to get the most out of it as you can. But it's funny you mentioned the super supplements, because I know so many guys that, you know, tell me they're on this, and this, and they don't even look like they lift. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. You know what? There was a long time that I didn't know. And I think you've had a similar experience. I didn't know a lot of people at the gym were on this stuff.
Yeah.
I just assumed a few of them were because it looked really obvious. But then I find out that some skinny kid over there is taking like three times more than I ever have. And maybe he's got a couple more veins in the summer. But, you know, realistically, that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it goes back to what we said earlier about gimmicks and just, you know, the common misconception that people have with everything. If I want to get big, if I take this, I'm going to get big. But yeah, I mean, that might be true, but you have to have everything else in place first.
Sure. So for me, at least, and you know, I've mentioned this on other podcasts before, my foundation after I have the nutrition right for a client would be a good multivitamin, a good fish oil. I like to use a dietary fiber, even if I have them eating a lot of vegetables. I just find that usually that helps with, you know, good, consistent, you know, regulation for the digestive system. And then after that, a whey protein. But realistically, man, anything outside of that, is there anything else you would add to that list that you could say would be very beneficial?
It's funny. If you would have asked me that question years ago, I would have given you a whole list. But it's like the more experience I gain in this, the less you really need as far as supplements go. I recommend everything you say. The only thing I might add in there is maybe some creatine monohydrate, because it's actually one of the tried and true supplements out there. It has the most research done on it, and it's actually one of the only things that actually work. But other than those things, I have nothing else I'd want to add. Is that bad?
No, we agree, and I agree with you too. I think creatine's good. I've had people that you know, when I write out a diet for them, and whether they're a new person or they've been around, I will put on the diet plan, you know, say they train at 3:30. I'll write, you know, eat at 2:30 this meal, you know, meal three. And then at 3 o'clock, optional pre-workout, you know, creatine is acceptable. That's usually what I'll write. And I'll have new people come to me saying, what's a pre-workout and should I take that? It's a very common one. And then the next step is, you know, that people start thinking that they need that. And I think since that Jack 3D, however you want to call it, since that product came out, man, I feel like pre-workouts are the first thing that people turn to. They have got no experience in the gym, yet they're getting amped up on 400 milligrams of caffeine, you know, every day at plus.
Yeah, I think I like a good pre-workout, but the problem is most people, like you said, they overdo it. what I do is I'll use a quarter to half of a scoop.
Okay.
Just before a workout, just to kind of give me a little pick me up, or I'll use, you know, a cup of coffee. Just that little bit of caffeine always helps. I mean, caffeine is a really good mental stimulator also. So it's really good to take before a workout because it is going to help you,
sure,
you know, plow through your workout. So the benefits of caffeine are, you know, I don't have to go into detail about what they are. Everybody knows caffeine is the number one drug in the United States. So that's why I like using a little bit of a pre-workout, but I don't think it's a necessary thing. If you don't have the money for a pre-workout, you know, a good old cup of Joe will definitely do good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree with you too. I mean, I feel like if I'm in the gym and I'm more focused and I'm lifting better, a pre-workout might not directly create progress, but those factors, the harder work and, you know, the more focus in the gym, that definitely will.
Yeah, and going back to my point, I touched on it a little bit, but you don't need 500 milligrams of caffeine before your workout.
Sure.
It's just there's not a necessity for it. Especially if you're one of those people who are really sensitive to caffeine, you really don't need much to get going. But if you're one of those people who have a lot of caffeine regularly,
yeah,
I would recommend taking some time off the caffeine.
Yeah.
Try to give yourself like a full week of no caffeine. I mean, no, it sounds like, oh my God, Anthony, you're nuts for telling me to do that. But it really makes a big difference. And if you slowly bring yourself back to having caffeine, start with like, you know, having a cup of coffee a day, you're going to see a huge difference in how your body responds to that caffeine as well.
Oh, absolutely, man. I've had a few clients that just started overdoing it with coffee because, you know, during a prep when you're dieting and you're really suffering, a cup of coffee is going to help to suppress your appetite. Plus, it gives you something to kind of consume and put in your body. And if it's a black cup of coffee, you're not going to be adding a bunch of extra calories like you could with other, you know, flavored beverages and stuff. I had one guy who was up to like 4 pots a day.
That's crazy.
By the end of the diet, he was wondering why his stomach hurt so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
crazy.
Yeah. So I guess just with anything, man, there's definitely too much. But coffee is one of those things. I think we really do overdo it, you know, in the industry. Speaking of which, though, not to say overdoing it, you have a coffee-based product, don't you? A supplement.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring it up, but you brought it up before me.
I'm here to plug you, man. This is, I want to tell you that that idea is excellent. And like you said, I think that caffeine can be really beneficial. Tell me a little bit about it, because I'm going to buy a tub of this stuff.
So basically, I think obviously we know that caffeine is the number one drug in the United States. So I knew it was definitely a market for it. Coffee is, everyone consumes coffee. The average person consumes 3 cups of coffee a day. So I said, all right, I like coffee. I drink my coffee too. So I said, you know, wouldn't it be – one day I had like an epiphany moment. I poured myself a cup of coffee and I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if this coffee had protein in it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I did a Google search and I came across a couple of things, but it was all like protein powder,
yep,
that was flavored like coffee. And I'm like, that's not the same. I bought a tub of one and it was not the same. It wasn't coffee.
Yeah,
so
no.
I said, I wonder if there's a way that I can make this. So I tried mixing it. You know, and it would clump.
Yes, it does.
It's not going to work. I said, so I don't know how I'm going to do this. So I contacted a manufacturer, and I've been I was sponsored athlete by this company for so long, and they have a manufacturing facility. It's All American Pharmaceuticals. They're a great company.
They are.
About doing a supplement, go to them. They are the top in the industry. They're just the best at everything. They have everything certified. I can't even sing my praises about them enough. But
nice.
Anyway, so I contacted Dr. Jeff, who, again, I've known him since 2007. And I told him my idea. He's like, call me right away. So I called him, and he's like, I love the idea. He says, you know, when I was bodybuilding, I would have that all the time. And I think that would be an easy way for people to get their protein in.
Yeah.
So we figured out a way to finally get the whey protein in there. I don't want to give away too many secrets here, but it's...
No. You know, keep those secrets. Just tell us about the product and how it works for us.
So we're finally able to do it. Now you're able to have a cup of instant coffee with 10 grams of protein in it. So it definitely helps. If you have 3 cups of coffee a day, that's 30 grams of protein in it without even trying. And my main goal was, and I told Dr. Jeff this when I spoke to him, I said, Dr. Jeff, listen, I want this to have 10 grams of protein in it. You know, if we can get more in it, we can. If we can't, we can't. But I don't want it to taste like protein at all.
Right.
I don't want it to taste like coffee. I don't want anyone to know that there's protein in there, because then it would defeat the purpose.
Right, right.
So we did it, man. I'm telling you, I'll send you one. I want you to try.
Okay.
Dude, there is not one hint of protein in that at all. You can't even taste it. It's insane.
That's amazing.
And actually, it's funny. You can mix it cold, too, instantly, and it mixes instantly, so you get, like, iced coffee right away. Ooh. Also. So if you mix it cold and then add a scoop of protein in there, yeah. Oh, man, it's so good.
Yeah? So then you're getting, like, 35, 40 grams of protein, huh?
Yeah, without even trying. That's the cool thing. That's what I think, people like about it, especially, like, my clients who aren't into bodybuilding in general. They,
right.
Has coffee every day, so if they just switch it, it's easy. It helps them get protein in, because for the average person, it's hard to get protein in.
Yeah, you know, the meat in animal products, those are like that's the number one thing that I find normal people don't want to eat. They all want to eat the carbs.
Exactly, because it's hard. You know, no one wants to go out and cook all this chicken breast for the week. It's
sure,
tough.
Sure,
it's not easy to do. So that's why things like whey protein and stuff like that are out there, because it makes things convenient. But this was just an easy way, and I kind of had that epiphany one day, and I just kind of rolled with it and went with it. And it's tough when you come out with your own supplement. It's very – there's a lot of – it's a very big expense, but yeah. I think it was a cool product. And, I'm learning this journey as, I guess, like any other supplement company. So it's fun. It's definitely a fun experience. But, yeah, that's my whole story with that.
That's really exciting, man. And I'm super excited to check it out. So what do we have next? I believe we've got a couple more here.
So our last, we're actually up to number 5.
Oh, this is 5. See, you're a better host than I am.
This is my hosting thing.
Yes.
My hosting experience. So my last mistake that I have for everybody is improper form. I think this goes without saying, but I know so many people, and again, they'll kind of chase the logbook and try to always shoot for, you have the people that go into the gym that kind of just wishy-washy everything, and then you have the people who are overachievers. So, okay, Anthony said progression. I have to focus on progression no matter what. But if your form is breaking down, you're not getting anything out of that movement. And when I say form, I'm not talking 100% textbook form.
Yeah.
I'm talking about form that works for you, that you're going to feel in that muscle group without hurting yourself. So you know, I know there's a certain way that I deadlift that I feel more in my lats when I do it. There's a certain way when I do an incline press that I can hit more of my upper chest doing it. And that's just over time learning how to do the movement correctly. But I think you have to have perfect form on any exercise you do in order to get the most out of it.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think that perfect form is a lot of different things. I think that for new people, when you say perfect form, one of the thoughts that comes to mind is that their body is in proper alignment, and that they're moving the muscles that are supposed to be moved while not moving the ones that aren't. I think that that's the start, and that's definitely necessary. But then also it goes further, because you need to, everybody's body, like we continue saying here, is different, and you need to do what it takes for your body to fire the muscles you're intentionally trying to fire. And not everybody's going to be the same. So, you know, if somebody tells you just stand there with your chest high and your back straight while you do this exercise, that in itself isn't going to build your mind muscle connection. It's about, correct, for me, almost meditating on the muscle I'm trying to contract and making sure that the other muscles around it aren't doing the work.
Correct. So even like a textbook may tell you, okay, when you bench press, you have to have your hands this so far of a distance and you have to bring it down to here. You know, and that's fine and dandy for the average person. But if you have, you know, longer arms, your arms might have to be a little wider. You might have to be maybe a little closer if you have shorter arms. You have to really play with all these different angles of movement, because – you know, especially when you train with free weights, which I recommend over machines, is that you have to really find your groove with the exercise in order to get the most out of it.
Sure. Absolutely, man. So you prefer machines just free weights just in general over machines. Do you, I know you're more powerlifting now. Do you ever work machines into the mix?
Yeah. So it's not that I don't like machines. I do like machines. I think a lot of people rely on them, and I think that that's the issue. I think what you have to do is, you have to do your heavy meat and potato exercises first, and then when the muscle group gets tired, that's when you switch over to the machine stuff. So, for example, for a chest workout, let's just say, you focus on your heavy bench press, you know, focus on maybe an incline after that or vice versa, whatever your goals may be, and then go into a machine fly after that. You know, just machines are a good way to stimulate the muscle without overtaxing your whole body. So it's a good way to – because, you know, if you're doing a basic barbell movement, you're going to fatigue a lot of other muscles other than your chest. So it's a good, after you finish all those movements, to move into a machine stuff to really isolate the chest and really hit a lot of those fibers doing that.
Interesting. Yeah, I agree. I find for me, sometimes machines are beneficial for if I'm, say, suffering from an injury or whatnot. But in general, yeah, I think you're going to activate more fibers using a free weight movement, you know, and when you can, especially for the newer guys, I would highly suggest that. What else do you do to focus on making sure that you're getting the most out of the exercise you're doing?
Slowing down is definitely one of the most important things that I've realized that helps people understand what's going on. A lot of people just bang through exercises, but if you just take a little bit of time and slow down a little bit, you're going to change the whole dynamics of the movement. And that'll definitely help you develop a better mind-muscle connection. And at the same token, doing that movement more often and focusing on a little bit more. So in other words, going back to me for an example, you know, powerlifting, if I focused on, I keep saying bench press, but if I use the bench press, if I wasn't getting good stimulation doing it the first time, but if I stick with it and keep riding it out and keep trying to add weight and progressing, I'm going to get better at doing that movement. So I'm going to learn how to fire my chest doing it. So I think a lot of people give up way too early. Mm. Oh, this doesn't work. And then just skip it. But meanwhile, you may be skipping so many benefits and short selling yourself in the gym.
It's hard too early on to learn to contract the muscle that you're targeting. I mean, I know now that, and I can picture it. I'm about to train back in about hour and a half. I'll be at the gym from now. And I know that when I do a row movement, I can squeeze my lat so hard. It's almost like I'm trying to make the muscle spasm when I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But there was a time, man, that I remember the first day, like in my parents' basement, rowing a like 45-pound dumbbell, and remembering the moment when it actually clicked that I was actually squeezing the back muscle. And I swear, I must have been doing that exercise for 6 months before I had that epiphany. You know,
I would say that that's actually good progress, because a lot of people, I've trained people who've been training for so long and they still can't feel the back movement in their back, and they've been training for years. So I think that you caught it on earlier than most people do, because, you know, remember, your back is a muscle that you don't normally see. So it's hard to kind of figure out how to squeeze that muscle. But once you actually do it, and once you get, you have to do it like once or twice. Once you get one stretch, like, oh, that's what I got to do. And then it just kind of goes from there. But again, I think you caught it on a lot earlier. You definitely caught it on a lot earlier than me, that's for sure. Because it takes me a while to actually start developing a back.
Well, I didn't say anything about developing it. I just said squeezing it. It still took a long time. And for me, back was a real difficult one to grow. I progressively had gotten into using heavier and heavier weights. And I had subscribed to the notion that for back, I just needed to go heavier and use. I got up to like 405 for barbell rows, free weight. And I was knocking out sets of six reps with that. But it didn't grow nearly as well as when I moved the weight down. A couple years later, I started doing more like maybe even Smith machine barbell rows, and maybe only having like a couple quarters and a dime on each side, but squeezing my back so hard that I felt like I was going to make it spasm. It wasn't till then that I actually started seeing progress.
So I have two things to say on that. One, I agree with you with the bent over row thing. I used to do the same thing. I actually bent over row. I have a video somewhere of me doing like 405 for like 8 or 10 reps.
Yeah.
They were sloppy and horrible. And actually, I didn't get the most out of my back development until I kind of stopped doing rowing movements and started doing more pulling movements, more like pull downs, pull ups. Focusing on those types of things really helped develop my back. I don't know why that is, but for whatever reason, maybe I get a better contraction when I do those versus doing a row.
Yeah.
Maybe when I do the rows, it hits more my middle back instead of where I need it to hit. So I think this is your body's your best experiment. So you have to always be willing to try new things in order to see what's going to work and what's not, and then just adjusting from there. The second thing I wanted to touch on is going back to what we said about form. My co-host, actually, he gets his best back development doing rows, barbell rows, so opposite from me, but doing them very, very unconventional, very sloppy almost.
Okay.
Sloppy is maybe the wrong word, but he does them very uniquely, where he kind of rubs the bar against his legs and he kind of heaves it.
Okay.
Kind of looks like a little bit of a shrug, but it works for him, man. His lats just develop like that. He gets a huge pump doing it. So I think you got to, going back to what we said, always finding the form that fits your body the best.
Sure. Interesting. So Big Pete likes to, he does like a Branch Warren almost, huh?
Kind of, it looks like a shrug almost. It's such a weird movement the way he does it, but it works for him. And and the same thing with his barbell curls. The sloppier his barbell curls get, the bigger his arms grow. And it's just, that's just the way he's built.
Well, you know, and I mentioned Branch Warren. I mean, obviously what he's doing does work for him. You know, I mean, the guy got huge doing it. I mean, obviously he's also probably, you know, compromised himself too. He's torn a ton of muscles, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of it is because of the ballistic style that he trains in.
Yeah.
But, you know, nonetheless, man, it obviously has made a lot more progress for him than a lot of people will ever see.
Yeah, and this is another proof here that you can't always follow what people do. If you like Branch Warren, you think Branch Warren is a great bodybuilder and you want to look like him one day, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to train like him.
True.
You may have to train the total opposite way to look like him, you know? So you have to really figure out what works for you. And again, going back to what I said, your body is your best experiment. This is where having a logbook, keeping track of your training and nutrition is very important, because then you start to realize what's working and what's not.
Absolutely. Man, this has been a really cool time, Anthony. I've been super excited to do this with you, and it went exactly how I thought it would. Man, you're a wealth of knowledge about training, so this has been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Scott. Man, I appreciate it, and thank you so much for having me come on. I'm honored that the big guy invited me on.
Man, I'll talk to you later, but we need to figure out a reason to bring you and Big Pete over to Bodybuilding Nerds. So
we got
to
do that.
Let's come up with an idea. And
I know people have been asking for that.
Yeah, good. We got to make that happen then, and we just need to invent a reason, and then we can do whatever we want. That's the beauty of podcasting, isn't it?
Exactly. Scott, thank you so much for having me come on, man. I appreciate it. And I hope all your listeners got a lot out of what we said in our top five mistakes. So don't make those five mistakes. Again, I'll just summarize them up for people.
Thank you.
Again, so the top five mistakes people make in the gym: not having a plan. So always make sure that you have a plan. You know, you set yourself up with little goals along the way to help you achieve your overall goal. Number two, always train with progression. That doesn't necessarily mean adding weight to the bar. You know, add weight, reps, sets, volume. Always be progressing. Don't just randomly do things. Number three, don't do too many accessory movements. Keep it short and simple. You know, stick to those basic movements. You're going to get a lot more out of them. Focus on diet, making sure that the diet's in there, that your diet is in line with your goals. If you want to lose body fat, you have to make sure you're eating less. If you want to gain muscle, you have to make sure you're eating. And again, focus on the form that works for you. So don't just go in there and ego lift. Focus on developing the muscles.
Excellent. Anthony, tell me about this protein coffee product. Can they get that at newyorkmuscleradio.com, or where do they go for that?
So you guys could, if you guys are interested in following me, you could find me on Facebook. I'm Anthony Bevilacqua. I usually post everything on there. I'm most active on Facebook. I like Facebook better than all these other things. But again, if you're interested in listening to the podcast, you can go to newyorkmuscleradio.com. All the information there for online coaching, anything like that's on there. And if you're interested in picking up some caffeine, that's what I called it. Get it?
Caffeine. I love it.
Caffeine. It's buyproteincoffee.com.
Nice. That's a really cool URL too. Easy to remember and easy to type in.
That's the goal.
Awesome. Well, guys, this has been Anthony Bevilacqua for Advices Radio. I'm Scott McNally. Keep grinding.
Grandmaster, a cup faster.